You're listening to Campfire Conversations, brought to you by Three Rivers Land Trust. Connected to the land, committed to conservation.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Campfire Conversations podcast. We are live today from Backcountry and Beyond in beautiful downtown Salisbury. In the podcast studio, we have an interesting ambiance going on in the studio today. I think they maybe had some electrical issues over the weekend, so the lights in our room are not working. We do have power in the outlets. You guys, the only way that'll affect you is you won't get any video from today's episode. But we are, since you can't see us, I'll describe, we're sitting here in the dark. We've got one lantern, so it's kind of like a pretty spot-on Campfire Conversations vibe for today's podcast. Real quick, before we get started, I want to make sure to remind everybody, we ended the early bird sales period for raffle tickets on July 31st. We are outpacing last year. We're selling more tickets. I want to let you know, you still have 8 weeks to buy a ticket and get in the drawing. Just because the early bird period is over does not mean we have stopped selling tickets. So I want to remind everybody that we still have tickets available. Also, on Saturday, August 12th, if you are in or near the Denton area, come see us at the Denton Farm Park. They're having an event called Jeeps at the Park. So that'll be the Saturday after this podcast airs. We're going to be out there. And one of the cool things about this event, so we're selling raffle tickets out there. You'd have a chance to come out and look at the Jeep that we have in the raffle. But I just told you the early bird sales period is ended. If you buy a ticket in person on Saturday, August 12th, you will be in the early bird category. So we are kind of giving a little special extension to anybody who comes to visit us on that Saturday. Also, if you have a ticket for the Habitat Summit, you can buy one there in person as well. Come see us at the registration booth. We'll sell you a ticket. We'll make sure it gets included for every prize on the board. So we got that going on this week. I want to introduce our podcast guest. We have a new employee on the podcast today. So this is sort of our like trial by fire that we make everybody do. I'm going to let Amanda say hello to you guys.
Hello, everyone.
So Amanda started with us like a month and 2 days, right? July 1st?
I started on July 5th.
Oh, so yeah, like exactly a month and 2 days because today is the 7th. So Amanda came in kind of a crazy time. She came in the middle of a short holiday week and immediately had an audit dropped straight into her lap. So what, just for me and for the listeners, what do we get audited on? That's for accreditation, right?
It has to do with our accreditation and just ensures that we are in compliance across the board. So it's gathering invoices, it's taking care of financials, providing anything to the auditor to ensure we are in line and in compliance.
Nice. So yeah, we had that, like, that's a pretty intensive project, and she did a great job of explaining it there and keeping it nice and succinct. But from the outsider's point of view, I probably watched Amanda work on this for like at least the first 2 weeks. And very little other than that. So hats off to coming in to a total trial by fire situation, getting it knocked out, keeping us above board and keeping everything straight. And ongoing, Amanda's role is office manager. So that sounds like really general and honestly kind of boring. And let me tell you, that is like the glue that holds the office together. None of us would be able to do anything we do without the support of an office manager kind of back at home base, keeping everything straight, keeping everybody straight. So we're very happy to have Amanda on. Wanted to kind of spend some time talking about, and I know you got this question in the interview, and I'm about to ask it again so that our listeners can hear, but talk us through like your conservation story. Everyone here has one. Everyone here is a little bit different. So tell us what that is for you and why that matters to Amanda.
So when I was young, I grew up in Allegheny County. I was within walking distance to the New River. I had that amazing childhood experience of going fishing, walking through the woods, seeing wildlife in my front yard. And unfortunately, that's not the case for a lot of people. And it's becoming more and more rare as time goes by. So it's so important to conserve lands and have that. In fact, this weekend, I'm taking my youngest, who's 10, Emery, to Allegheny, and we are going to kayak down the New River for a couple of hours. So it's such an important thing that we do to protect those lands and also to help farmers and protect farmland. My dad has farmed tobacco for a number of years, and I know the importance of keeping those lands for farmers as I see developments going up all around Davidson County.
Yeah. Every time you drive by a cornfield, there's a for sale sign in it. We'll build to suit, can subdivide, you know, all that. We talk about it every week on the podcast. I'm sure you, I hope you guys don't get too terribly tired of hearing it. We try not to sound like a broken record, but it is the thing that we go to work for every day to kind of make sure those wild places stay wild. The New River is an interesting one to bring up. That, and I may get this wrong. I'm sure someone, if I do, will be emailing in shortly after this is posted to let me know what I've gotten incorrect. But that is the oldest or second oldest river in the world, I believe. And I think it's one of two that flows, its entire course flows northward. And that the other one, I think, is the Nile in Egypt. And those are kind of the only two on the planet that their entire course runs in a northerly direction, which is kind of odd because we always... At least I did, and there's, I don't know if this is really founded in anything other than like a 10-year-old's limited understanding of how the world works, but rivers always seem to be going south on maps, you know what I mean? Like from top to bottom, like you think about it that way, and so I guess that's just, south is downhill in my mind. You know, when you look at a map in front of you, it's like there's the cardinal directions are laid out, and south always feels like downhill, and I remember learning that about the New River when I moved from Eastern North Carolina up into Winston-Salem, and kind of that was, you know, when I moved there, I felt like that was the mountains. I came from Rocky Mount and just had never seen any kind of topography like what we had in Winston, like being able to ride my bike up and down hills and, you know, it, the fact that it would snow a little bit. I felt like I had moved to the mountains. I'll never forget that. But I'll also never forget being up, I think it was somewhere... I want to say it's like just around Roaring Gap, maybe just north or west of there. But you can actually visit. There's a spot that shows you the headwaters of the New River. And, it, you know, like a little spring bubbling up out of the ground. And there's a sign that, you know, at this point starts the oldest river in the world. And I believe it's that one, which ironically named. but a really cool area. Where are you guys paddling when you go? What section are you running? Where do you put in?
So my uncle has planned the trip for us. It'll be my uncle, aunt, my mom, dad, myself, and my youngest daughter. I don't know where we're letting in. It's going to be in the Piney Creek area.
Okay.
So we are hoping to do about 2 hours if the weather allows us to this weekend. We're very much keeping an eye on that as we go.
Yeah, for sure. That's one of those things that I always say, like, especially when you're doing a point A to B float on a river. Once you get on it, you're kind of there. You know, the only way out is to get to the end. And I have said that to some inexperienced friends as we get on floats before and rain starts falling or bugs start biting, people get hot. Like, how much longer? Every time you stop to ask me that, it's going to be that much a little bit longer. That's how long. Like, if we keep moving, we keep moving. But if we stop to rest, you know, it gets longer every time. And I feel like I, you know, you've got kids too. Mine are a lot younger, but I feel like I say that just all the time with toddlers. It's like, well, when is this going to happen? Well, every time you interrupt me, you get that much farther away from it. So yeah, that'll be a fun trip. Tell us a little bit more. I know you mentioned, I think you just got a kayak recently, right?
Yeah, I've sort of just mooched kayaks in the past.
Yeah.
So I went to Rock Outdoor and purchased a Perception kayak.
Nice.
I put a new mount on my car, which is a little Subaru Crosstrek, and it's worked out fantastic getting from the shop to my home, so I'm hoping it'll make the hour and a half trip just fine.
Yeah.
I think I've tightened everything well. We'll see.
You'll find out. That's for sure. I actually had some trailer issues this weekend. That's funny you bring that up. I was driving, had my boat on a trailer, and I hit a pothole, and, I guess what's the best way to describe this? For those of you not familiar, axles and hub assemblies for boat trailers are effectively just U-bolted to the frame. So it's just like four U-bolts, and that's about, I guess that would be eight nuts holding the entire assembly together. So I come through a pothole on the highway, was not paying attention, ran right into it, and the left wheel of my trailer dipped down in the pothole, and I guess it was deep enough. There was enough of a vertical edge that the wheel hit so hard, it shifted the axle of my trailer back on that side about a foot, just pushed it back on the frame, which basically meant that then the wheels were like steering left. So I feel the impact. I look back and my boat has drifted over about 3 feet in the left lane, and I'm running, you know, 65 on the highway. And then my wife calls me from behind and was like, "Hey, I think your trailer might be messed up." And I'm like, "Yes, thank you. Appreciate that." And we're riding down the road. I actually was on Highway 17 headed from like the Wilmington area south towards Charleston. And Whitney was like, "What are you going to do?" I'm like, "Well, there is not a better highway on which to have this problem happen because we're at the coast. I'm going to be passing a boat dealership about every 5 miles for the next 50. So I'm just going to pull in at one of these places and figure it out." And sure enough, pulled in actually not at a boat dealership, but at this place called East Coast Auto and Diesel in Little River, South Carolina, right off the, or actually Calabash, North Carolina. So he was just, I mean, this guy was like right next to the fireworks stand. That's how close to the line he was. And it was Friday afternoon. I pull in there and start describing the problem. And this guy comes, the lady who helped me was like, "Sean's going to come out and take a look at it." So I'm out there waiting on Sean. Sean comes out and take a look. We start turning a wrench, getting things lined back up. After about an hour, we had it as good as it was going to get. And he knew, you know, I'm headed to Charleston. I've got another 120 miles. Let's get you back on the road. We'll get you there. And everything looks good. As I'm leaving, I'm like, "Okay, what do I owe you?" Because what's an hour of labor at like a what looked like a pretty high-end diesel mechanic shop? He had some nice trucks in there he's working on. This guy goes, "Hey, man, I'm the owner. Just leave me a review. I don't want anything." Hands me his card. It's like a review is a lot more valuable than cash these days. I'm happy to help out. And that was one of those like not had a great day up to that point. And it was just rainy. It was a crappy day. Horrible, you know, just really gloomy mood. And this dude hooked it up for free and asked for a review. So here I am, Sean from East Coast Auto and Diesel in Calabash, North Carolina, letting the listeners of the Campfire Conversations podcast know that if you're ever in that area and you need a good, honest mechanic to just work on something for you and help get you back on the road, Sean is your guy. I'm also going to go online, Sean, and leave a review for you. I'm addressing you in first person as if you're going to hear this, and you probably won't, but it's out there. Thank you. Appreciate it. Back to the task at hand. So picking up, Amanda, where we left off there, what kind of walk me through your work history. You came to us from Clean Water in what, or not Clean Water, the Rural Water Association.
I came from North Carolina Rural Water Association.
Okay.
It's a nonprofit, for those who don't know, that assists rural water systems throughout the state with both training and technical assistance. So they do their continuing education, their certifications, and they also have circuit riders that go out and help them. For example, the last big hurricane North Carolina had, we actually had the Coast Guard helicopter in one of the employees with a part that was crucial to the water plant running. So, I mean, we were everywhere from in every single county in the entire state helping keep water flowing to homes. So rural water really does have an important mission. And part of that is also clean water, which was something I saw with Three Rivers Water Protection. It's something over the last 6 years with rural water I really became interested in, the source water and groundwater protection. So I was very happy to join Three Rivers and get to continue to see that sort of work being done.
Yeah, that's one of those things I always, and you know, we talk about this a lot. If you guys have heard me say it on the podcast before, forgive me because I'm about to repeat myself. But something I feel like, especially living in Winston-Salem, a lot of people, because we're not right on the river, you know, it's not as close as it is to Salisbury. It's a little bit outside of town, and people don't really think about it in the context of like, that's where your water is coming from. And something I always say to my friends in Winston when I'm talking about the Yadkin River and how important it is to protect it, to make sure it stays clean, I'm like, that's your water source. So when you make a bottle of formula for your baby, that's where that water comes from. When you fill a pot to boil some pasta, that's where that water came from. When you're, you know, we had Andy Sarum from New Sarum Brewing on the podcast last week. Great episode. Love sitting down with him. He's a big supporter of the land trust. But when he turns on a tap to fill a tank with water so he can mash in his barley. That water came from the Yadkin River. And it's, I think, important to consider those daily uses when you're making your decisions and, you know, whether or not you gonna throw some trash out the window riding down the highway. I hope that none of our listeners are doing that, but somebody's doing it, because I can tell you every time I've been in the river, you come by a bridge or a strainer, there's always plastic water bottles in it. You know, when you think about whether or not you're dumping something in a storm drain, that drains to the river, and that river runs its entire course all the way to the Atlantic Ocean. I think that's another thing people never think about when they're thinking about the Yadkin chain, is like this touches the Atlantic. You know, all the way to Georgetown. I actually drove across the mouth of the Petey River in Georgetown on Friday evening, and then drove across the Great Petey in Florence yesterday on the way back up from South Carolina. And it's kind of interesting to take that drive, you know, leave my office in Salisbury on a Thursday and get up Friday morning, head to the coast, and you're essentially following that water course all the way down, and all the stuff that drains in, everything, you know, it all goes to the ocean right there in Georgetown. It's something I always say, like, you can, from a red drum all the way up to a rainbow trout and every species of fish in between, they exist in the Yadkin River. It's all right there, and it's kind of this amazing system that just is right in our backyards and flows from Blowing Rock. It starts in a parking lot at like the Green Valley Inn, I think, and runs all the way down to Georgetown, South Carolina, and picking up everything in between, you know, flows past Charlotte, flows past Winston-Salem, flows past Lexington, past Florence, South Carolina. And you know, you think about all the people that live in those places and everything that could end up in the river. It really is, you know, to your point, Amanda, something that's extremely important when it comes to just the decisions you make on a daily basis, and also the decisions about which organizations you want to support. So you guys know this, I'm in development, and I don't ever let a podcast get by without making an ask of some sort. So there it was, if you're keeping track, at the 1658 mark was when Will made his ask. But again, back to the new employee subject at hand, I can ramble forever if allowed. Before Rural Water, you were... Am I missing one? Or was it straight from GameStop to Rural Water?
So, no. I was out of college. I worked for GameStop for 10 years as a store manager. So, I'm a bit of a nerd. I do love my video games, even though I love the outdoors just as much.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, I don't have any... Actually, I shouldn't say that. I have a Wii, and my wife and I pulled it back out a couple Fridays ago and hooked it up and started playing Mario Kart. And I was like, I really want to show this to my oldest daughter, but she's 4, and I feel like that's maybe, I don't know if it's too, it's not too young to conceptualize playing Mario Kart with the Wii steering wheel and learning the buttons, but I feel like it may be too young to just experience absolute whoopings at the hand of her parents, because like, I'm not gonna let up when that day finally comes. I'm sure you've seen the memes going around where it's like, I will absolutely play full strength in Mario Kart against my children, and we'll be looking at them like, hey, buck up and pick the track you want to lose on. I've been training for this for years. Like, I've been waiting for this moment.
So you're going to be laughing as your daughters fly off Rainbow Road is what you're telling me.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I will red shell you right at the end of that race to win it. Don't care. Like, this is, you know, we'll get back to the father-daughter relationship when the game's over. But right now, we're in competition. See, that's what Whitney and I were talking about. Like, I don't know if she's too young to figure out Mario Kart, but she may be too young to get destroyed by her parents in Mario Kart. I don't know if she could separate, you know, the, like, friendly competition. Of course, what I just described was not necessarily friendly competition. This is much more heated competition. But, yeah. So, GameStop, this is something that I feel like we haven't talked about this as much as I would like to up to this point, but that's retail, yes, right? And that is... I mean, anybody who's worked retail or any kind of service industry, which I came up on the retail, or I did a little bit of retail. I came up on like the food and bev side of service positions, but golly, like dealing with the general public.
It was a long 10 years.
Yeah.
No, it was, honestly, I met some of the best friends that are still, my best friend, Erica. She's started as a customer, and then I hired her.
Oh, right on.
And then she's still the person I text every day, like, oh my gosh, did you see this and this was announced? Uh-huh. And then the customers were amazing. I think anyone who works retail, who works in a sales-based retailer,
yeah,
knows the metrics push. And I think that was my biggest qualm. I loved working with my employees and customers. I just didn't necessarily like the sales push side of it.
Well, and that could be, you know, I feel like anytime I've been in a situation where there was like a corporate entity over top, they love to tell you, well, you should be upselling, you should be cross-selling every person that walks in the store. I'm like, well, that's not, I mean, you may win some customers out of that, but you're likely going to push just as many away. People who just came in for one thing or because they had a question, you know, I don't know about you. It certainly will turn me off from a place if they kind of can't deviate from the script and just be a human and talk with me and help me solve a problem. Like, I can't tell you how many times on a customer service 800 number I've been like, all right, you said your name was Mark. Okay, Mark, let's set the script aside for a second. Here's the problem I have. Here's what I need your help with. Is that something that's possible, or do, you know, how does this work? Kind of try to humanize it a little bit, because that's the faceless entity of corporate sometimes can be a lot.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, in the corporate side, there was good and there was bad. There was positive and negative.
The team at Montgomery Community College in Troy invite you to get to know their forestry management technology program. For decades, MCC has been helping forestry students explore this exciting, high-demand career option. MCC is located on the edge of the Uwari National Forest in the Uwari Mountains. The campus is situated on approximately 150 acres of timberland that is managed by the college's forestry program. Forestry is considered one of MCC's specialty programs, with other options including gunsmithing, hunting and shooting sports management, taxidermy, and pottery. Visit montgomery.edu to see course descriptions and explore the exciting world of forestry for yourself.
Stop by and see Jeff and the crew down here at Backcountry and Beyond in downtown Salisbury for all your cooking needs. They got a full line of seasonings, sauces, wood pellets, smithy ironware, cookware. This is the place to be for your outdoor cooking needs for summer.
Some of my favorite moments, though, were tournaments that we had, like Mario Kart tournaments. Guitar Hero, when it was first out, was huge.
That was huge.
I'm telling my age here.
it came out when I was in college. And
it was huge. So we did tournaments in Lexington, and we had kids that, I mean, we made their year. Like, they got their trophies. We celebrated them. All the adults were cheering for them. Like, those are like some of the happiest memories. Just,
I bet.
So I can't speak too negatively. I really did enjoy my time there. I think you having children know that retail hours put a damper. So when I left retail, I went to work as a business manager for Hunkler Fabrication.
Okay.
They make luxury RV shades. So if you think of like $1 million motorhomes, they make a magnetic shade system that goes on the front of those. And they're, you know, multiple thousands of dollars for the shades. That's based out of Mocksville, North Carolina. It's a family-owned business. They're fantastic. Love them to death. They're a really great family. I did everything from invoicing, taking customer calls, making sure that things were going through at the right time for our fabrication, our seamstresses, shipping. So I ran their business while they were out of town 9 months out of the year selling.
Nice.
So
that's tough. And a lot of trust to be placed in an employee. That was when, you know, that was probably the hardest part about like doing the small business thing for me, is there comes a point when you have to hand it to somebody else and just kind of get out of the way and trust them. And that can be really tough.
Yeah, it was because you have everything's on you. So
yeah,
employees, make sure they're happy, make sure everybody's content, make sure you're staffed, make sure them customers happy, because you want those people to spread the word.
Yeah, they got to come back. I didn't realize until I started having to shop at Camping World because I needed parts for a food truck how expensive everything in the RV community is.
Oh,
it's wild.
It's crazy. I mean, we had a few big names that purchased from us. We would have people that came in with $150,000 motorhome that they had bought, you know, secondhand, up to someone who came in with over $1 million motorhome that, I mean, every high-end finish in the world was put in.
That's wild. I mean, I guess it, You really think about it, it's not that surprising, because most products or pastimes in this world, like, you can spend as little or as much as you want. But the idea of a $1 million motorhome is hard for me to conceptualize.
And I will say the one factor that was always the same across, I think I saw probably 90% of those customers traveled with their dogs.
Yeah.
100%. Almost all of them had their dogs with them.
We had one at the archery tournament that brought their RV because they had their dogs with them, which, you know, mine's at our feet right now. You guys have seen Cheese on all kinds of social channels through Three Rivers, so I certainly understand that, not leaving the dog behind.
So, I mean, it was always a good day at the office. You got to play with the dog when they came to have their shades installed.
For sure. So you guys did the installation too. That's cool.
Yeah, we had that as an option if they were in the area. Nice. We'd also go out to some shows and install them for them.
Very nice. So that kind of brings us up to now. After your first month, what do you like the most about working at Three Rivers after 1 month? That's a tough one, but.
Oh, see, you're just going to think I'm sucking up, but the employees.
Yeah.
Everyone is so nice, and everyone's so passionate. It's nice to be in a small group that everyone's in it for the same mission and for the same reason, and that's just to conserve land.
Yeah, for sure. That was there's a song I'm thinking of by a guy named Jason Isbell, and he's got this line, and the song's called Alabama Pines. If you want to look it up, it's a great one. But he's got this line in there that, like, no one gives a damn about the things I give a damn about. And that was something that really, I don't know, I thought about that song a lot when I first started working here, because I do remember thinking, like, finally in a room with people who care about the same issues that are important to me. Because it's kind of one of those things, I mean, most people, you know, aren't connected to the land or committed to conservation to take an opportunity to, like, throw our tagline in there. But it's the truth. Like, for a lot of folks, it's just not something you think about on a regular basis. And they don't look at open spaces and wonder, you know, especially knowing what I know now after 6 months of work at Three Rivers, when I drive by a field, if it's close to, like, a town or an urban area, I'm looking at it like, okay, so I wonder what kind of easement's in place there. Why hasn't that been snatched up yet? What's kept it from being snatched up? You know, what work went into conserving this space? Because that's, I don't know, to me, it's the most important issue. You know, land is the only thing that we can't make more of. And once it goes, and it's out of natural, it's natural state forever. Or probably not forever. I mentioned this on a podcast, the last one we did with Mark Boss, that was 2 weeks ago, where it's like, eventually the earth will reclaim everything and all traces of human civilization, but we probably won't be around to see it.
I hope not.
Yeah, right? So to kind of talk through, I want to spend some more time on the gaming thing, because I used to do this a lot when I was younger, but haven't really had a console since. What console do you have now? What are you playing on now?
So I play between the Nintendo Switch and a PlayStation 5.
Okay.
I'm a console gamer. My husband is actually a PC gamer.
So there's a big, I know very little about this, but there's a big divide there, right?
There is a big divide. My husband thinks he's superior with his PC.
Right.
He is wrong. The console is the way to go.
He's also your husband, so he's just wrong. If my 11 years
the funny
of
thing
marriage
is,
experience has any bearing
he
there.
Went to NC State for philosophy.
Okay.
He is very good at making an argument for himself.
An argument.
So I am in one of those rare circumstances where I think I may lose more than I win.
Right. Yeah, not always. So what game are you wrapped up in currently?
So the game I'm playing currently is a game called Diablo 4. That sounds scary, I know. But it's basically like Dungeons and Dragons. Think of that. It's, you know, you have your warriors, your mages. So I play a sorceress.
There you go.
This is going to come across really nerdy to a lot of people. But that's what I'm playing currently. I'm also playing the new Zelda that came out on the Switch, Tears of the Kingdom. I'm sort of ADD when it comes to games. I switch games up because I'll play a game really solid for a month or two, then I'll flip back to another game. And
but there's a name for the, and I don't know, there's a name for the kind of game you just described, right, where there's like a storyline?
It's a role-playing game.
Role-playing, there we go.
So RPGs, those are my favorite style of game, because you get to adventure around in the wild in those games, and, you know, fighting monsters, and usually I can give myself a task. I want to get to this level, or I want to get this gear. it gives me something, because if I sit at home on the couch and I don't have something outdoors planned, I get bored and I start, yeah. I'm like, well, let me organize it. So I need to stay busy. It helps me right. stay busy.
So that you like that kind of like open world.
Yeah, exploring.
Where the, yeah, where you can just get out and go. That was, what was the one that came out? I had never experienced a game like that. Oh, it was Grand Theft Auto, which like totally, that was funny because that was one of those ones that like I would go, I could get my parents, and you want to talk about dating yourself, I could convince my parents to take me to Blockbuster on a Friday night, and they were very familiar with the rating systems for movies, but not with games. So I was like 12 years old, and I think I convinced them to rent me that original Grand Theft Auto. They were like, what is this? I was like, it's a racing game. They were like, okay, cool. You can have it. You want to talk about mind-blowing for like a 12-year-old to, because previously it was like the EA Sports suite of games, right? So the college football games, the college basketball games, Madden, NFL, like it was mostly all sports-related. And I was playing on a PlayStation 2. And so that was my first experience with like that role-playing kind of game. And I was hooked early on.
I think I ruined a lot of kids' plans at GameStop because yeah. they would come in thinking they would get one past their parents on Grand Theft Auto. And I was always always like flipped around the case. It's like, it includes this.
Right, yeah. Just want to make sure you hear this, Mom.
You saw the kid's face just
drop. Yeah. Golly.
And you saw the mom like give them a side eye, like, what did you do?
We're going to have a conversation about this later. You tried to get one by me. That's funny. I caught my 4-year-old trying to sneak something by me for the first time the other day. And that was really funny because it's like she was trying to get a stuffed animal to school. You know, can't take toys to school or to her summer camp that happens at the school she goes to. But I just call it school because I feel like it should be. And that's another like rant I could go on forever. But we do not live in an agrarian society anymore. I don't need help in the fields during the summertime. Like my kids could stay in school. It wouldn't affect me. In fact, it would be better if they just went year round and like we could plan a couple of week or 2 week breaks here and there throughout the year. But yeah, anyways, she was trying to take something to school, and I'm normally in the morning, like in the kitchen, getting their lunches ready, making breakfast for everybody. And I'm trying to remember exactly how this happened. I think I had my back turned. I was at the kitchen sink, but she's not familiar with the idea of like the window reflection, especially when it's low light outside and in the morning, that basically with the lights on inside, like all I'm getting is a reflection of what's happening behind me. And I watched her like look at me to see whether or not I was looking. And then she like quietly walked to her bedroom and came, you know, in our house, like the living room and kind of kitchen den are split around the fireplace. It's an old ranch style house. It was built in the 50s. So like you can walk from her room to the kitchen either through like the living room, dining room situation or over through like the den. And she came past, you know, she thought I couldn't see her. She went the other way where I wasn't standing. And I watched her come around and like look at me again. And she kind of had the stuffed animal behind her legs and like holding it behind her back, and went over there and very sneakily unzipped her front pocket on her backpack and like slipped it in there and zipped it closed really slow. And I was like, I'm just watching in awe. Like, I can't believe this is, you know, you're 4. Like, I didn't teach you to be sneaky with stuff like that. Like, that's just this innate. She's like, I want this. I want to do this. And he can't know about it.
That's always a fun time as a parent. I think I've seen both of mine go through that first stage. And you're like sort of happy because you're like, okay, I see they're growing. They're developing.
You're using your brain, right? Yeah.
But at the same time, like, oh, no, what am I in for?
I waited. I didn't bust her that morning. I let her take it to school. And I waited until I picked her up that day, and it's like, you know, 5:15, and I'm getting her from camp, and she's packing all. You know, normally I'll go inside. She's always really excited to show me if she's made any art or that she's packing her stuff up. Look, this is where I keep my water bottle. This is where I keep my snack. She had it all packed up. She was zipping her bag. I looked at her, and I was like, what about your unicorn? And she stopped and looked up at me and gave this little smile. And I was like, I saw you put that in there this morning. Make sure you don't leave it here. Because that's another – I always like – with parenting, I feel like a lot of times, I don't know, I see it happening a lot. I know it happened to me when I was younger, that like the parent will know what the child has done, but will ask the question anyway. And I'm like, don't do that. You're just teaching him to lie. You're like, she needs to know, like, I know everything. I saw that. I let it happen, but you need to know that I knew. And, you know, you didn't get away with anything, right? Like, I saw that happen. I was watching, kind of deal. Like, that's... I don't know. That's one of a million things that come up when you're parenting that just like, what do I do with this?
Both of my kids are terrible liars.
Yeah?
Terrible. They both had the worst poker face. So if I just straight ask the question,
uh-huh.
Both of their faces,
just
they
change.
Start, a little smirk comes up uh-huh. and you can tell right away. So, and I don't think either of them have gotten away with much over the years.
Right. And yours are older than mine. You've got one about to go to college, right?
Yeah. She's going to Salem College on a full scholarship, which is amazing. I'm so proud of her. Mom bragged there. She graduated high school with a 4.6. So
nice.
Super Which, gifted.
That's insane to me. So that's weighted GPA, right?
Yes.
That's when did that come around? Because we could only go up to a 4.0, right?
We could go higher in my high school with AP courses.
Okay.
Because they weighted higher.
Yeah.
And that's what she did. She took every AP course available. So she graduated on top of her class. But she'll be going to Salem for a biology and science, and she is still considering her second major, whether that be pre-med or public health, depending on where she sees herself going.
Yeah.
But she is very excited. She moves out on the 16th into her dorm.
Man.
And then the other one is 10, and she is going into fifth grade.
So you got a little while.
I have a pretty large age gap between my children.
No, see, mine are 4 and 2, and that's like to hear the idea. Just hearing you say like she moves out, like I don't know that I've ever considered it in that context before. That like I look back on my life, I mean, I moved out in August of 05, headed down to Clemson, and really aside from like I think a couple weeks when I graduated and came back home before I started my job and got an apartment, like that's the last time I lived in my parents' house.
Yeah, I was, you and I are the same age. I moved out in July of 2005.
Yeah.
And that was the last time, yeah, we moved out at 18. So
same age and at very different points now, in our parenting journeys.
I have told her that, her sister has a bunk bed, but her room will be converted. So
yeah, it's getting flipped over.
Yeah.
Mine got held, I think, for the years while I was at college, but then all of a sudden one day, this would have been like 2010, it was like boxes of stuff just started showing up at the house. It was like, here, this is yours. Take it or leave it. I don't care, but I'm getting it out of my house.
We're looking at selling and buying another house right now, and we've already had that discussion with her. Listen, we're going to stack it in the basement, but at some point, you're going to have to come get all everything.
Yeah. So you know about the 30% rule when you're moving into a new house?
No.
If I hate moving, and it's something that I like cannot stand, and probably if it worked out, I would stay put in our current house for the rest of my life just because I can't stand it. But when we moved, somebody told us this, and it was extremely helpful, and it was, when you're packing up, throw away 30% of your stuff. Just get rid of it. And then when you get to the new house and unpack, throw away another 30%. Just get rid of it. Just find what you don't need and use that as an opportunity to get it gone. Like, I think I called a junk hauling service, and those guys showed up with a big truck and trailer like the day before we closed the house we were selling, and I was just like, take it all. Get it out of here.
Yeah, the last time we bought and sold a house was about 5 years ago, and I think I made 3 or 4 trips to Goodwill with just boxes and boxes of things. Hopefully, this time we'll be able to do the same.
Are you the hoarder or the throwaway person?
I'm the throwaway person.
Yeah, see, I'm the hoarder. Whitney is the throwaway person.
My husband has a 15-year-old PC on the top of our closet. He's like, well, maybe one day we'll need it. I'm like, no.
We'll use it for parts.
Yeah,
I've got
those parts are so old.
I've got the clear bin full of cables. Like I've still got my. All right, so it wasn't. There was mini USB. You remember the mini USB chargers used to come with Blackberries? I still have those chargers, like in case I need them for something one day.
Yeah, we have a large plastic bin full of just any cord imaginable.
Random cables. Yeah. I've still got coax cables. We're all streaming. I don't use coax in my house anymore, but I've got like 100 feet of coax. Should I ever need it?
I think we have an old Sega Genesis in that box. Like, it's a lot of really old cable. Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Nice. I will never forget the day that my old PS2 from high school finally died. That was a sad day.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, it started running, you know, it got to where it would only run 1 or 2 games, but I would still play those when I needed, like, a hit of nostalgia from my teenage years. And I think around the time I was, like, 25, 26, it finally just crapped out and was totally done. And that was a very sad day. But my Nintendo 64 just still works great. I don't know what they built those things with. I mean, they built them in Japan, so go figure. I mean, I drive Toyota trucks, like, for a reason, because they last forever. So maybe that's
Same thing, Subaru, because they last forever.
Yeah.
They just know how to build things.
Absolutely. So yeah, with that, we are going to start winding this down. Speaking of Subaru, I'm glad you brought that up, Amanda, because I want to talk real quick about the raffle before we get done. I know I mentioned when you can buy early bird tickets at the Habitat Summit as well as the Denton Farm Park. I talked about the Jeep, but we also have a 2023 Subaru Crosstrek in the raffle if you didn't know that already. It's in there. It's got the off-road package. It's got a desert tan color. It's an amazing vehicle. It's sitting down at Van York Subaru in Ashboro. If you have time, go by and take a look. You can actually buy a raffle ticket while you're there. Go see my friend Steven Snipes. And if you need a new car, go see him. Great guy. We've bought a couple of vehicles from him this year, actually, here at the Land Trust. We got the one for the raffle, and then we purchased a staff vehicle for land protection so they can get around and do all their site visits. And lastly, before I leave you, I want to remind everyone who's a member of the SAP, our fall draw is coming up on August 16th. We're going to conduct that draw, so your deadline to purchase lottery tickets and make your picks is August 15th. That's a Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. After that, we cut it off. We're going to do the draw on the 16th, and then, you know, in the days following that, we'll be notifying our winners and who's got what block when. But we are really excited about the upcoming fall season, really excited about the upcoming raffle draw, Habitat Summit this Friday. We got a lot going on this fall, and really excited to have Amanda, our new office manager, in place, keeping everything straight, keeping everybody in line, and just doing all the stuff that you might not see when you're looking at our socials and, you know, all the work we're doing. It's not necessarily something we highlight, but it is the most important work that happens at the Land Trust. So glad we got a chance to introduce Amanda to you guys. And if you're around the office, stick your head in and say hello. And outside of that, we are going to sign off. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening. And if you have any suggestions about guests or content, feel free to reach out to me, will@trlt.org, and we will see you out there.
If you like the show and would like the episodes to keep coming, you should know that our podcast is just one of the tools that we use at Three Rivers Land Trust to further our conservation mission. Our number one priority and purpose is to conserve land and natural resources for future generations and to be a voice for wildlife and to ensure wildlife populations have habitat forever here in North Carolina. This podcast is just a byproduct to further that mission. You can visit our website at trlt.org to join us in this conservation mission.